News Talk 99.7 WNTK, AM 1490, FM 98.9 WUVR. Welcome to a new edition of our program with George Newart of George Newart Construction in Sunapee and Trusted Reynolds Automotive in Newport. We've been talking the past couple weeks, well, a few weeks, about the trades in general, kind of breaking it down from carpentry and general contracting and electrical, plumbing, you know, everything. And just talking about the fact that it's just a very viable, lucrative, and incredibly necessary avenue for a lot of people to travel down over the next however many decades to kind of replace all the people that are retiring out, which is most of them at this point. So let's kind of continue that.
Hi, Matt. How's it going?
It's going all right. Did you watch the eclipse?
Yes, I did watch the eclipse.
How was that?
It was quite spectacular. I have a camp in Pittsburgh.
Oh, so you got like the full-on.
Full-on.
Nice.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing how, first of all, I didn't understand the whole idea of not being able to see the moon. I honestly thought that the moon was going to rise out of somewhere, and then this blob was going to block the sun.
Yeah.
And I would be able to see them both. And I was like, I just had no idea. I had to ask people like, okay, how does this work exactly?
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently you can't see the moon. You can only see the moon if you get rid of some rays of the sun, which is what the glasses are for.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very fascinating. What I think was amazing to me is that, yes, I did see it full on.
Yeah.
It was pretty amazing to witness this event that is never going to be, it's never going to happen again in our lifetime.
Right. Yeah. I think the next one they said was like 2079. So
and
you'd
how,
be like 130 years old.
And how do they predict it? Like, it's amazing.
That, I was thinking about that yesterday as it was happening. I was like, how crazy is it that we can have such accurate calculations that we know hundreds of years in advance to the second when this stuff's happening?
It is crazy.
It's amazing.
I think the thing that really what impressed me about the eclipse was that as this moon came in front of the sun, like the effect of the sun, the light and the warmth started disappearing. And you were like, you could feel it visibly, like you could feel it.
Yeah.
The heat, and you could feel, you could look at around you and see that things were getting visibly darker. But what I was really amazed at is that as the moon covered the sun, even the slightest little sliver of the sun, I mean, the teeniest little, like 5%,
mm-hmm.
was emitting this unbelievable ray of light. And it was only until the moon was totally covering the sun that the full effect, like I bet you the temperature up there dropped 15 degrees.
Yeah, that's what they say in the moment of
it was
totality.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's like
it was
10
amazing.
To 15 degree drop in temperature. And even here, so I mean, I had in Lebanon, we had like, I think it was like 98.5% coverage. And even then I could tell it definitely.
That's a lot.
It is, but it's crazy how much that 1.5% matters. Because, it got darker, but it was kind of akin to maybe like a stormy, like thunderstorm kind of over like coverage. It definitely wasn't like night.
It was amazing. I think, and then the warmth, like mm-hmm. it dropped 15, it had to have dropped 15 degrees. I don't know exactly, but you start understanding something that you just take for granted every day. Like you look up at the moon and you're like, oh, there's the moon up there. But do you ever think about the fact that people have walked on that moon or what it took to put people on that moon? You look at the sun every day and you're like, oh, it's a nice sunny day. And it's like until things come together in a way where one reflects directly on the other's significance, you're like, I don't want to swear right now, but you're like, holy moly.
Yeah, right.
Right. Right?
Yeah, no, it's very humbling and belittling.
Super humbling.
Like, yeah.
I felt like,
just,
what am I actually in control of?
Right. Yeah.
I am not in control of much when you think about the fact that, you know, if that circumstance happened when it was 10 below zero out and all of a sudden it was 25 below zero out,
mm-hmm.
or for some reason you needed more light for something and the light disappeared, you'd be like, oh, sugar, seriously?
Right. You had like solar power panels.
Like I'm a victim. Right.
No, don't go on
about solar panels.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to express my appreciation for the fact that we go around every day like sometimes feeling like we have a sense of significance. And it's not that we don't, you know, we do
it in our own ways, in our own
me
lives.
Personally, right. Like I impact a lot of people.
But in the grand scheme of the universe?
I know. Really. It's kind of, you know, I grew up very religious. So I grew up as a Jehovah's Witness and, you know, we subscribe wholly to the creation theme. And it's hard for me to look around and think about, you know, the order of things and not think that something put it into place. It's hard for me, but then again, I don't know exactly. But, you know, I grew up with the whole idea that if the sun were, I don't know, 12 feet farther away from the Earth, we'd freeze. And if it was 37 feet closer to the Earth, we'd burn up in a fireball. So when the moon went in front of the sun, it kind of brought me back to the intricate nature of our existence and how everything kind of works very harmoniously.
Yeah.
You know, the trees taking in carbon dioxide and giving off oxygen, like simple things like our food cycle. I don't know. I don't want to get into a religious discussion. That's a whole nother
ball of wax. I mean, just the way everything is just over however long the Earth's been around, just it just everything has a symbiotic relationship with
it. It's amazing to me. Yeah. So yesterday was it was very significant for me to witness this event and not take a look at my own either significance or insignificance in the way that I influence people or the way that I try to take care of people or the way that I've changed my temperament, my character, my personality, like I've changed over the years and we're just different.
Yeah.
You know, I'm different. So I feel like I was able to reflect on it in a more mature way.
I will say also, despite the insane amounts of traffic, it was kind of encouraging in a way to see that many people in the digital age actually taking the time to drive somewhere where they could experience totality of an eclipse and not just watch it on a video.
So when we left, my buddy Kenny and I left Pittsburgh last night. We left at about 5 o'clock and we got all the way to Lindenville, which is
like an hour away.
We go the Vermont way, which is an hour and 10 minute drive from Pittsburgh to Lindenville, which is exit 24 on 91 North. That's where we get on the highway. And it took us 3 hours to get there. Got on the highway. And then I was like, oh my God, you've got to be the traffic.
It was insane.
Unbelievable.
Insane.
3 miles an hour. So I went 150 feet up the highway and took a left into a cop chop.
Yep.
I'm not encouraging those, but under certain circumstances.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
We're not doing this.
Yeah.
I'm like, one car breaks down, one fender bender, somebody's going to run out of gas, and there were 7 million Teslas on the road.
Oh, I'm sure.
You can't tell me they all made it.
Right.
There's no way. Yeah, I heard this morning there were 30 of them juicing up at the Price Chopper in West Lebanon waiting, 30 of them.
I doubt it,
So it's kind of funny, these incidences in life, these little situations we have, even though they're once in a lifetime, it kind of creates a relativity to the policies we're adopting as humans.
Mm-hmm.
And all I could think about is like how many electric cars are going to be stuck for 15 hours in traffic. Like I can't even imagine. Yeah. And that's just getting from the north, Twin Mountain, Colebrook, to West Lebanon.
Well, that's the crazy part. Because like the people I saw, I live right off 89, and I was watching traffic just nonstop coming southbound.
It was nuts.
And, I mean, it was going like 20 miles an hour. And it was doing that for literally, I mean, I was up until like 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. And it was going for like nine straight hours.
Nine hours, right.
Which means those people were on the road for...
Can't even believe it.
It's just crazy.
I can't believe it. Yeah. Seriously.
I don't know why anyone... I wouldn't have even tried. I would have done what you did and just said,
can't do it.
I'll do it tomorrow.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
We would have been, my assistant, I have an assistant, Shane, her daughter was up there and it took her and her father 15 hours to get home. So they left right after the eclipse at 3:30 and they didn't get home till 6:30 this morning.
I'd be so frustrated.
Think of that, people. That's unbelievable.
It really is.
So, okay. So a couple observations that I would like to vocalize, and that is that Pittsburgh was expecting, I don't know, 20, 30,000 people, probably not that many showed up. But when I started, you know, hearing the Facebook reports and started like absorbing what was going on, I would say probably it seemed like Pittsburgh had 10,000 people, but not 20,000, you know, somewhere. But they were spread around everywhere. Like Pittsburgh's humongous. There were people everywhere. They were in Franconia Notch. Right. They were everywhere.
Yeah.
So one observation that I thought was incredibly inspiring is that, like, I'm a racer. Like, I raced motorcycles for 10 years, and I started off road racing, and then I started motocross racing, which is the dirt.
Yeah.
You know, they have outdoor races, and they have indoor races, and I've always been so disgusted at the fact that at the end of every race, or you go to a baseball game. Like, people are pigs. Mm-hmm. People are pigs. They leave all their stuff everywhere, their drink cups, their popcorn, like... I don't get it.
No respect for that,
There's no respect for these venues, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the NASCAR races at Loudoun, and it's just...
It's disgusting. It's absolutely gross.
Yeah, it is.
And everyone thinks like, oh, somebody else gets paid to pick up after this stuff. I don't have to pick up. Why can't we just pick up after our own selves? If we consumed a beverage, if we consumed something, why can't we just be responsible for taking care of the garbage, of our own garbage?
Right.
But for some reason, we live in this society where it's like...
Not my problem anymore.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a simple thing. And yeah. And then when you think of parents acting that way, and then children act that way, and the cycle just continues because kids just do one thing, and that is imitate well.
Yep.
So what I was amazed at is that we didn't see one bottle.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't see a trash bag. We didn't see baby diapers.
Yep.
We didn't see one shred of trash. Everybody in Pittsburgh, there was a police order in place where you had to park off the road. And we were like kind of joking like, yeah, everybody's going to come up from wherever down south and they're going to park so far off the road that they're going to go right in the mud because it is mud season up there.
Yep.
I was really amazed at the orderliness of everybody that went up there.
Yeah, I had estimated just based on the way I counted like how many cars are going like every 10 seconds on the interstate on average a few different times. And I calculated that over the course of like that 8 or 9 hour period that I was watching, there was something like 125,000 vehicles just on 89 South. So imagine that plus 91 South, amazing, which I'm sure was even worse.
Amazing. And well, when we got on the highway, I went like we were going 2 miles an hour, literally two or three miles an hour.
And so I'm sure 91 all the way down.
Oh, my God. So we've got 100 miles to go. We travel 100 miles to get from Sunapee to exit 24. Yeah. And then it's 75 miles from exit 24 to Pittsburgh. So it's 100 miles at 3 miles an hour. I'm like,
it's a ticket like through like Derby and everything right up the Canadian border.
Way up. Yep. So we go up Lake Nelson. But if the pay stayed the way it was going to be 20 hours to get home. And I'm like, no way.
Yeah.
So we bugged out. So my hat's off to everyone that came north in our neck of the woods. I was just amazed how neat and orderly and clean. And there wasn't one car parked with their tire on the white line. The police were very specific about that. And it was just so neat and clean and orderly. Huh. And there were a lot of places like Lopstick Lodge, and there was a boat landing by First Connecticut Lake, and there's a boat landing at Lake Francis. But Kenny and I went for a tour yesterday before the eclipse just to check out and see what all the hubbub was about. And we were like, people were everywhere in lawn chairs having barbecues and cookouts, and they were just making an event out of it. And when we left this morning, there wasn't one piece of trash anywhere.
I wonder if it has something to do with the fact that it was like a celestial event and, you know, like it's just like a certain audience that, you know, is just more earth conscious in terms of littering and things like that.
Well, I consider a motocross event a celestial event. No, it's not. Maybe there's an earthy nature to it that says we should respect our planet.
Respect the dirt upon which you drive.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So there was an event that I will reflect on, like the impact of it. I can't tell you the number of people in my life right now that are like, sugar, I wish I would have gone, or, you know, I wish I would have taken the time, or I just wish I would have done it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the reality is, if you ask yourself these questions, or you think the potential is to ask yourself these questions, and you know that's going to come after the fact, just go do it.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with me. I thought at 98.5%, I would have been like experiencing almost the total thing. But again, unless you get like the full totality, it's just not the same.
The comments I got from the group of people, my customers, my employees, contractors that are down here that were staying in contact with me were like, ah, no big deal.
Yeah.
Like that wasn't anything.
Yeah.
But
it was like eerie. I mean, even here it was still eerie. Like just seeing like the reduction in the light, and just it kind of reminded me of if we lived on Mars, like what the light would be like there. And I feel like it was kind of similar to that, like towards like the very towards totality. It was just when it was dim, but you were still getting some sunlight. It was kind of like, you know, this is probably what it would be like if we set up a civilization on Mars.
The biggest impact for me is how cold it got, how quickly.
I did notice that too.
How quickly it got,
because it was, I think in Lebanon it was like 65 or so. It was a really warm day yesterday.
Yeah.
And then I think by the time the sun had returned or had gotten to the point of like the least amount of sun getting there, I think it had, even in Lebanon, it had dropped down to like 55, something like that. It dropped like 10 degrees.
So all I can do, everyone out there listening, is that if you do live to be 100 and how many, how old does people have to be?
I think at this point they'll have to, I think they have to be about like 170, something like that. Yeah. I think no, it's like, it's 2079, I think, is the next full eclipse here. I think in the continental US, I think 2044 is the next one.
So I have a video. It's a 15-second video that I have on my phone. I took it. I took the lenses of my 3D glasses.
Yep.
Is that what they're called?
3D? Or eclipse glasses.
Yeah, yeah. Eclipse glasses. Yeah. I've been calling them 3D glasses for so long.
It's close enough.
So I took the lenses, put them over my camera lenses.
Oh, yeah.
And I took this super cool video, and I really didn't know that my Pandora station was playing while I was videotaping.
Like Dark Side of the Moon or something.
So I want people to go to, I'm going to share this video with Matt,
yep,
along with a picture that Haley, my assistant's daughter, took in Twin Mountain. So there's going to be a 15-second video on there of the actual moment that things went black in Pittsburgh. Like, it's black.
Nice.
Like, blacker than the inside of your pocket.
Wow.
Your immediate area is black, but then you see your horizon, and there's blue and reds and yellows. Like
sunset,
right?
Or
so
sunrise.
If people could go to the website, yeah, and Matt will give you the address and everything.
I'll
after
probably
the
put
show.
It on Facebook. That's probably
okay.
easier. Yeah.
So it's a 15-second video. It documents the moment the eclipse happened,
wow,
how dark it got. And then there's a picture of Haley with her fancy camera. She had a special lens. I don't know what she did, but she took this spectacular picture of the moment of the eclipse. So if people could go to the
just the WNTK Facebook
and look at it right after the show. I'm going to send it to Matt. It's it's quite spectacular.
Wow. Yeah. That's really good. I wish I'd thought of using the glasses to actually like filter my phone through, because I actually could have probably taken an accurate picture of the sun.
So we have a thread going on the company. There's 17 people in this thread, both companies. And yep, so I was doing updates. Like, I took a partial crescent, a half crescent, a three-quarter crescent, almost a full crescent. And then I took a picture that was pretty close. It wasn't, you know, it's not like it's professional or anything,
right,
like that. But then I posted the video of the event, how dark it got. And people were like, whoa, that's really dark. So it really kind of made me feel, personally, it kind of made me feel, as much as I do and as much as I contribute and as much as I try to be a positive influence, it really kind of made me feel a bit insignificant.
Mm, yeah, it does have that effect.
In the light of the bigger picture, it's kind of like...
Just the entirety of humanity, you know? It's like the sun can do one thing for an hour and drastically change our lives, and we're completely helpless to stop it.
It's amazing.
It's just like...
It was very humbling for any of you that... even saw it. Let's just say there were some people down here, Matt included, that didn't go north, which I can't imagine because they were piles of people up there. Go to the website, look at these two pieces of data, and just try to reflect on, you know, you can put yourself there with a little bit of imagination. When you see my video, you'll realize that Pittsburgh's typically 10 to 15 degrees cooler than it is here.
Right.
So first of all, yesterday and today, there's two cloudless days, which in Pittsburgh, if anybody knows Pittsburgh, it's like, if it's going to rain anywhere in your life, you're going to go to Pittsburgh because it's going to be raining all the time. Like, for some reason, the North Country gets hammered with, and maybe that's why there's so much livestock. Maybe that's why there's so much wildlife, because they get so much rain.
Yep.
But if you can kind of like superimpose your mind into this video and this picture and realize whatever temperature you experienced, it was 15 degrees cooler than that. Wind was not blowing at all. Kenny commented that he thinks he might have put his snowmobile gear away too soon. So that was kind of a funny comment right at the moment.
Yep.
He goes, man, I might have put my snowmobile gear away too soon.
And, well, just wait 2 minutes.
And the joke is, because Kenny has this Arctic Cat jacket, we call him the Godfather because it's this it's this jacket, it's old school jacket. It's an old Kawasaki racing team jacket.
Yep.
And the thing literally goes down to your knees and you wear it like the Godfather. It's like a cloak, but it's wicked thick. Like, wow, it's the super warm thing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of an inside thing. Like, when Kenny says my riding gear, it's actually this Godfather jacket. So it's kind of a funny thing.
Right.
So yeah, if anybody can do that, you know, sometimes we can just reflect. Maybe by us talking, Matt and I talking about this incident, we can raise a level of awareness that says, you know what? If you're out somewhere and you're consuming whatever you're consuming, you know, maybe we could just take it upon ourselves to, like, one of the things I try to do when I go to a restaurant is, you know, I clean the table when I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you go to the kitchen and you grab a hot cloth, although I have done that, and say, why can't we use this consumable and yet have this consumable ready for the next guest?
Yeah.
So if we could all just take that little poke and pick up after ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been proud to be a motocrosser and be a racer. And I would go to these race venues. Like, I went to Unadilla one time you just look around after the event, and I just felt like I was in with the wrong crowd. Like, I just felt like I needed to take a shower.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
Yeah.
And then beer bottles and, like, I don't know. So if people could just pick up after themselves and be better stewards, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Even if it's just, like, one more time than you're doing it, that would be great. But, you know, I don't know. It
makes a difference.
It does make a difference. Yeah. I like your reflection, Matt. Maybe it's a – maybe the type of people that this event attracted are the type that would be better stewards.
Well, I just think it's just, like, a mindset of, you know, people that appreciate things like astrological events or, you know, any environmental-related – I feel like it's all kind of tied into the same kind of nature phenomenon kind of thing. So I just feel like there are people that, you know, generally just want to take better care of things instead of just leaving their filth everywhere. But who knows?
I don't know. That is a good way to put it. People that leave their filth everywhere. Yeah. Okay. So it's kind of a good segue into the next segment. What I want to expand on, we're not going to have much time this show, but what I want to expand on is that in the interest of that, would you call it the naturalist, like the getting back to the...
naturalist.
Getting back to, like, nature and people that looked at this celestial event and for some reason has struck a chord where they're like, yeah, I want to go do that.
Right.
Maybe those are the types of people that are the kind that are going to be good stewards. And so it's not that we're not capable of being good stewards. It's that sometimes an event like this can help poke and prod people to say, you know what, maybe we should take care of the earth a little bit more because the earth takes care of us with the cycles of the moon and the sun.
And I think it also just makes you realize what a delicate balance it all is.
It is. You know? So we're going to use that as a segue into the next part of this, which we're not going to have time this week to deal with it in depth. But, you know, part of the transition into the next phase of what I want to talk about, it's kind of an extension of last week, is that the trades are very earthy. Like, if you look at
hands-on
contracting and you look at what we do, I mean, we work with wood every day.
I mean, you're digging foundations in the ground. I mean,
right. And so, you know, I remember one time I was building a boathouse. I did a job for North Cape Design. They were the general contractor. Mm-hmm. I was a subcontractor. And so I built this humongous boathouse over in New London off of Owl's Nest Road. It was, I think, one of the biggest boathouses there is on the lake. Wow. It has an arched and elliptical center. So when you look at it straight on from the lake, there's a barrel. Huh. And so you look through the boathouse and it's barrel vaulted. And it's kind of
I think I've seen that actually.
It's tan siding with brown trim, I think, or it's natural fir, like the whole thing. And so one of the things we did was, like, as you're using this lumber and you're using cedar clapboards or you're using pine or you're using all these things, like, all these things come from the earth. Mm-hmm. And so I think one of the things about that job that kind of shocked me a little bit is that we use this mahogany, this Brazilian mahogany called Ipe. It's called Purple Heart. It's a type of mahogany that comes from South America. And so
beautiful wood.
It is. Yeah. But then all these giant forests of precious materials are being whacked down for these boathouses. And it was kind of, you know, Ipe, Purple Heart, is one of those kind of woods where you don't really do anything to it. It's one of the hardest mahoganies or one of the hardest woods. And so people use it for its durability because they are going to spend money on this thing once. It's very traditional to use Ipe or Purple Heart. It's very traditional to use this for dock decking because it's so durable. You don't do anything with it. Kind of like turns gray, it weathers, and then 5 years later, whatever, you prowl wash the top layer off. It's like, it's literally like, it's like iron.
Wow.
So as a segue into the next phase, I just wanted to touch a little on the fact that, you know, if there are people out there that, if there's kids, if there's adults, moms, dad, I don't care who it is, it doesn't make any difference. You know, we stereotype ourselves into these types of vocations, which is a job, like we stereotype ourselves into these things. I want to hire more women. I want to hire more females in the workplace because there's a lot of facets of this job that just don't, I mean, we know men and women are, one is stronger than the other traditionally just because of our builds.
Right.
But there's a lot of carpenter jobs that don't require a ton of horsepower all the time.
Yeah.
You know, there is.
Or electrician. I mean,
right.
You know,
right. You're not always lifting.
I mean, a lot of it really isn't. I mean, plumbing. I mean, like, there's not a lot where you have to, I mean, where, like, your physical strength is really a detriment to what you're doing.
So the other thing, the beauty of that, what Matt just said, is the physical strength is that they these jobs, these vocations, these professions are an opportunity to stay in shape. One of the things I've always appreciated about my, like, if I think of myself and I'm going to define myself to somebody, I'm a framer. I have the build. I'm the right height. I'm stocky. I'm muscular. Like, I have the right build to be a good framer. Tall people don't make good framer, and short people typically don't make good framers because taller people wear out faster. Mm. It's nice when you can hold up a sheet of sheetrock or like do something in an 8-foot ceiling. You don't need a ladder. That's awesome.
Right.
If you're short, you need a ladder for everything, so you're going up and down a ladder. So I've always considered framers between 5'8" and 5'11" is always a good size for them muscularly, and you know, their height and their, well, disposition's got a lot to do with it, but that's another matter altogether. So think of the trades from the standpoint of being earthy. Like, for instance, we use drywall, which is mined from the earth. We use copper wires mined from the earth. We use a lot of lumber. We use all kinds of different lumber. We use cedar. We use pine. We use Douglas fir. We use spruce for our framing lumber traditionally. You know, there's so much of, and pressure treated, by the way, is yellow pine, because there's no real use for yellow pine except some structural applications. But you think about, you know, if you look at your life, or you analyze your life, your likes, your wants, your dislikes, your needs, like being a carpenter, being involved in the trades in a different way, like a drywaller, is very earthy.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of artists, believe it or not, that are in the carpenter trade. And
I can
so
see that.
It is.
It makes sense. I mean,
there is.
Yeah, it's just working with wood and just
and
it's, natural
and,
stuff.
And you're expressing yourself. Like every day you get to go to work. Like, what I like about my job is that if I build something, I get to go to work every day. And, you know, I know, like, we just built a garage on Burma Road. We did an addition on 28 Unity Road for Dave Salvatore, who was in a wheelchair. One of the most rewarding jobs I've ever done is for Dave Salvatore, 28 Unity Road. We did a wonderful job there making a home more handicapped accessible. Mm-hmm. I can't think of another time in my life in which I've impacted another human who appreciated what we did for him so much.
Yeah.
I mean, the day after we went there, one of my subcontractors was saying that he was doing donuts in his new kitchen because it was so big that he could spin his wheelchair around without hitting anything.
Nice.
And so there's kind of a dual purpose to this. Is number one is we're getting in touch with products that the earth produces, mm-hmm. and we're modifying them to create habitation.
Right.
You know, when I think of how houses are built today, 3%, 5% of houses are built with alternative means other than wood, meaning cement, hay,
earth, cement,
underground houses. Like, there's only 3-5% of houses that are built by alternative means other than wood.
Right.
You have this enormous empire of wood industry that, you know, is supported by demand and supply. Can't imagine 100 years from now houses are going to be built any different. I really can't.
No.
So I just want to, next show we have, I just want to expand a little bit on the impact that construction has had for me in my life. And so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to present an interpretation of how I feel about certain things. Tune into next week's show about how construction has impacted me in a real positive way, but also in a couple negative ways. Like, physically, it's there when you do the same thing over and over again, stuff's going to wear out.
Right.
And so, you know, one of the things I'm trying to do is, honestly, because my right wrist hurts some from hammering, mm-hmm. I'm actually trying to use my left hand more. Mm. So next week's show, I know we're out of time. Next week's show, we'll concentrate on some of the trades, where they come from, what the history is. Say, for instance, drywall and drywall compound. Like, where did it come from?
Yeah, that's actually interesting to me, because I don't know.
And then try to just put a spotlight on how the concept of construction can be more than just, oh, we can do this. We can get paid this amount of money, and this is an alternative to higher education.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily an alternative to higher education, because I don't consider the trades being less educated. It's just a different form of education.
Right. Yeah.
So next week's show, we'll focus on that.
All right. Sounds good. And if you want to listen to previous episodes that we've discussed the trades and insulation, we've done a bunch of stuff. Just head over to WNTK.com, the podcast page. They're all listed on there. And we will talk to you again next Friday with another edition of our program with George Neuwirth on News Talk 99.7 WNTK, AM 1490, FM 98.9 WUVR.